Hello everyone and welcome to the first episode of this new Surrey County Cricket Club podcast from Three Feathers to Three Lions, brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. I'm Mark Church and I'm genuinely excited to be hosting this podcast because we have four very special guests from Surrey County Cricket Club and it will be fascinating to get their insight into their pathway through the Surrey Academy, into the Surrey First 11 and then on to England Honours. Plus, we'll hopefully have some laughs along the way. We're all making our debuts today on this podcast and in this first episode we'll focus on the Surrey Academy and my guest memories of being at the Academy and how important it was to their development and their careers. So let's introduce our guests. Firstly, the man who runs the Surrey Cricket Academy. He's been in charge for 17 years and has produced a conveyor belt of talent in recent years. Some call him the Dream Maker. I prefer to call him Gareth Townsend. GT, how are you?
I'm very good. Yourself, Churchy?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I can see you, just for listeners, I can actually see you at the moment. You seem to be sat in one of your many conservatories, and you've had a haircut, but you're looking good form to me.
Yeah, my clippers have been out. It's the only thing I could do. 8-9 weeks in isolation, it's kind of forced the hair to go, just to keep it going. But no, all's good, all's good. Working pretty steadily, but just getting through it like everyone else.
Good stuff. Next is a young man who has enjoyed a meteoric rise in the last couple of years. An Academy graduate, he burst into the Surrey team back in 2017, made his England debut in 2018, and earlier this year, of course, he made his maiden Test 100 in South Africa. He is, of course, Ollie Pope. And Popey, how are you, my friend?
All good, thanks, Churchy. As everyone is, a bit bored of this isolation, but we're getting by and hopefully we can see the light. I think we're hopefully going to be back training fairly soon. So, doing all right for now. Just trying to keep myself as busy as possible and as fit as possible, I guess.
And the one thing I can see is you haven't taken the clippers to your hair at all yet, have you?
Yeah, I can't pull off the cut like you and GT can, so I'm just going with the long live for now and hoping the barbers reopen in the near future.
Next up, it's an off-spinner who has caught the attention since he was at the Academy. He made his first-class debut in 2017, was an integral part of the championship-winning side for Surrey in 2018. He's represented the England Lions, and he is, of course, Amar Verdi. And Verds, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. And you're looking well, keeping yourself fit under isolation?
Yeah, I've been trying to stay off all the fried food, which is one of my weaknesses. So, I've just been trying to train hard and stay ready for when the season starts.
And finally, let's go to a young man who's had people talking whilst he was at the Academy, and then he made his first-class debut for Surrey in 2015, his England Test debut in 2018. He's now played 17 Tests. He's a wanted man in the shorter form of the game all around the world. He is, of course, Sam Curran. And Sammy, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Churchy. Very good. Great to be here, obviously, with the two Surrey boys and a very good coach we had back in the Academy days. But it's nice to see some familiar faces. And your videos have got me through lockdown, Churchy. I'm expecting the 4:30 or whatever it is tomorrow. I've really got a reminder on already.
Yeah, it's very kind of you, Sam. I'm basically just going mad. That's what's happening. You're slowly watching a grown man have a breakdown. But anyway, boys, look, it's lovely to see you all. It really is genuinely lovely to see you all in these circumstances. Let's start with GT. Just give us an idea for you of sort of how you've been running the Academy and keeping everything going during the lockdown.
Yeah, we've been pretty busy, actually. We've provided a good online support for about a group of 35 players. So each player has a support network, sports psych, strength and conditioning, skill coaches. We've asked the players to lead on this. So they're sending in video clips, of them training in different ways, however they can, trying to be adaptable in the environments that they're in. And it's worked really well. I mean, it's been challenging, obviously, because everyone's got individual situations. But the support staff have been feedback information, and we've kept them going as much as we can. And we've been really pleased with how it's gone. We've also had a couple of quizzes, and Sam did a Q&A last week, which went really well. It was brilliant for him to offer his time, and the lads got a lot out of asking him questions. I think we managed to get through about 40 questions. So I think we've supported the boys pretty well. I've got them through this, up to this period. And obviously, we're going to have to now work on how we get through the next period with next reopening and things like that.
Popey, how have you been spending your lockdown? I've seen a lot of pictures of you training with your dog, running through fields, but how have you kept yourself fit? How have you kept yourself occupied? Because, you know, it must be a frustrating period not being able to get out there with a bat in your hand at the moment.
Yeah, it is. I think, I guess for us, the seasons are long normally, and if you're away touring in the winter, then it can be a very heavy schedule. So I think you've got to use this time actually just to refresh a little bit as well, and mentally take a step back maybe, and just sort of appreciate what's happened over the last year or so. And it's actually, you've got to use it as a good opportunity to sort of, I think just get that real hunger back again. Not that we've lost it at all because we're so young, but I think it's a great chance to do that. But yeah, I've just been trying to keep fit. I do fitness each day, really. I think most of the lads sort of have a pretty good routine now. Lots of running and lots of weights. So that sort of takes up a good chunk of each day. And yeah, I'm loving sort of getting out and about, walking the dogs. And now we can see a mate a day. Then hopefully Sam will, at some point, will make the trip and we'll go for a little stroll in the park one day or something. But that's how I'm spending my day.
And just don't give too much away, but sort of from a Surrey point of view, from an England point of view, obviously you've all been keeping in touch, and programmes, you've been given programmes. So, you know, Surrey have been brilliant, and I'm sure England have been brilliant with you as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they have been really good. We've had these Zoom meetings quite a lot with the leadership group of Surrey, and we've also got yoga going on as well every Friday morning, which is pretty tough work, but it's nice to communicate and see each other's faces. They've been good at sort of keeping us updated on what the plans are, and I guess, yeah, it's frustrating, but yeah, I can't fault anything that's happened so far.
Verds, look, you have been doing some amazing stuff during this lockdown. Just explain to us. We've all seen the pictures of you delivering meals. You've been outstanding, my friend. Just explain to us. Obviously, we'll talk about cricket in a minute, but just explain to us some of the stuff that you've been up to during the lockdown period.
I've been volunteering some of my time with a couple of charities that I've been volunteering with since I was maybe about 14 or 15. So, you know, the main idea of that is a homeless-based charity, and, you know, like delivering food parcels to elderly people's homes and things like that. So, I mean, that's been a really good use of my time, something that's really helped me get through this kind of period. And it just shows us, you know, even though, you know, we are not playing cricket, and it's, like, it's quite tough not to be playing cricket at this time of the year, that there are people in less fortunate circumstances who are still staying positive about the situation. So I think that just keeps you going and just reminds you that, you know, there's a bit more to what's going on in our own lives and our own careers, and it's nice to sometimes just give something back.
Yeah, and well, it's outstanding what you've been doing, my friend. And just cricket-wise, you know, keeping yourself fit, obviously, and as Popey just said there, keeping in touch with the Surrey boys and a programme. So, and obviously, that there's, again, say as much as you want to about this, but with England, you know, you're in that sort of provisional 30 for tests and all that good stuff. So are you back out there bowling yet? Have they set you up your programme yet?
I think that'll be starting soon. I think maybe next week for me, because I've got a net at home. So I think they're trying to just coordinate how much I come in, obviously, to try and keep the social distancing and exposure to all the nasty things in the air. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to starting that again. It'll be nice to get them to have a bowl and some fielding and things like that, and just to see some of the staff. That'll be really good. So yeah, hopefully exciting times ahead.
Sammy, as well as Verd's doing his stuff and volunteering, you of course did your GoFundMe page and you've raised an awful lot of money. Just talk us through that, because again, that's been a brilliant use of the time that you've had on your hands as well.
Yeah, I think similar to what Verd said, I think even everyone, all of you are all in the same situation. We've all been sitting at home, and I just felt the smallest we could do was try and almost raise some awareness for the NHS workers and things like that. So I just partnered up with a charity called Heroes, which has kind of helped them help us. So it's all like frontline helps in terms of like food, transport, accommodation, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty, to be fair, I haven't done too much. I just set up the GoFundMe page and everyone's been very generous. You were very generous to make that big donation from your foundation. So it's I think it's a great time. Everyone's come together and the NHS are doing a great job, and it's the smallest thing I thought I could do.
And cricket-wise, what's happening at the moment? Because obviously there is talk about a test series possibly and one dayers and all that good stuff. So what's happening at the moment for you, my friend?
Well, I had my first bowl back at the Oval on Thursday, which was very, very enjoyable in terms of getting back there. At the same time, it was very strange to be, I was the only one in the stadium with the physio. So it was quite different, but great to be back bowling. And I know there's plans for West Indies to come over in July, but there hasn't been any confirmation yet. So it's kind of training with that mindset of hopefully playing, but don't want to get too high and don't want to get too low. It's just about trying to stay kind of level and make sure my workloads. I know Verz might be coming in soon, and I think there's plans for Popey to come and face me in the Nets. So it'll be a bit more competitive because there's a lot of social distancing rules and things like that. So it's day by day, but it's great to be back at the Oval.
Right then, fellas. So academy-wise, that's what this episode of the podcast is about. GT, let me start with you. What are your memories of the first time you sort of clapped eyes, heard about these three? Just talk us through what your memories are of these three and the first time you really got to know them and got them into the academy.
Yeah, I mean, they've all had different journeys. They've all come in at slightly different points and they've all been successful, but those successes have come at different stages, I think. I remember Verd's, for example, we got him into the second 11 in 2013, I think. He was an under 15, gave him a second team game at against Northants, because he just, up until, you know, as an under 13, under 14, he showed skills and abilities above his age group, above his maturity. And I think the same goes with the other two, that they're always good players, but as they developed as 14, 15, 16-year-olds, the one thing they did do is you had the ability to push them in higher levels of cricket because you felt that they needed to be challenged, but also the skill set and ability to do that. Sam, memories about him is, as he is now, hugely competitive, wants the ball, bowl, wants the bat, get involved in the game, affected many, many matches that he played in when he was a younger player. Whether it was under 15s, finals, or qualification games, always had an impact on games, lots of enthusiasm. And Popey, I think the big thing for Popey is he made huge strides from about 15 to 17 in terms of his batting, especially. He was always a quality keeper and technically strong, but his batting kind of just went through the roof as he went through as a 16, 17, 18-year-old. He just kind of got it and worked out what to do. Remember specifically, he got a 122 not out, I think it was, against Hampshire in the semi-final as the under-17s. And Alec Stewart obviously had come down in the afternoon just to watch, and he suddenly saw Popey, I think, got his second 50 in something like 15 balls, 12 balls. And he just hit the balls all to all parts. And just highlighted what he could do and how he can play. And 12 months later, he made his debut in the Royal London semi-final. So they've all had a lot to offer, but the way they've grown and developed is, you know, you can't script it and you don't know it's going to happen, but they've had so far outstanding careers for young men, 21-year-olds. Their futures will be so bright. You know, like I said, there's graduates coming out of the academy. You couldn't ask for three better role models and guys for people to follow.
Popey, look, GT mentioned it there, sort of 15 to 17. Suddenly, it sounds as if that sort of with batting wise for you, the penny drop. But what are your first memories of academy? And by that, what I mean is walking into your first academy session. You get to know certain players. You all grow up together. What are your sort of first real memories of being part of the Surrey Academy?
I think my first memories of those sessions, I think we came along when we were a little bit younger. And my first session was actually, I remember being on the bowling machine and GT was at the other end and I kept getting peppered on the thigh. And I think he was just sort of testing my character a little bit, seeing if I was ready for my first tour. That was actually when I was a little bit younger.
How old would you have been then, mate?
15, I reckon. And then my first memory, to be honest, was that it felt like there was a lot of quick bowlers there who were probably 3 years older than us, and there'd always be a sort of a net without a mat on, and it'd feel like tough work. And as younger lads coming in, it wasn't easy. So I think that was a good sort of test of character, and it challenged us facing that sort of extra bit of pace. I remember we'd always talk about it before, saying, well, we've got to face this guy today. I think sort of someone like Winslade, there's a guy called Will Rollings, Samad Shinwari, and those guys all felt very quick back in the day. Mm-hmm. So it was a good challenge, those. And then I guess sort of going through the years, there were long evenings at the academy. We wouldn't finish till sort of 10 o'clock some nights. So we'll be finishing off our fielding drills at 10 o'clock. And, well, this day and age, we're in bed by then normally. So I think that it's obviously a busy, trying to fit it all in with school's not easy. So I think while you're there, you've got 3 hours just to sort of try and nail as much as you can. So I think it's a pretty packed schedule when you're there. So I think that how sort of efficient the sessions were, I think that was massively impressive. And looking back now, I think it's run like it's the first time in a way that those sessions there, 3 hours when you're there, you walk in there and you're non-stop and you're getting your batting done, you're getting your fielding done, you're getting your S&C done, and it all runs just very, very smoothly. And I think that's helped us gain as much of those sessions as we could. And I think that sort of says a lot about how many, we've obviously had a lot of academy graduates come through, and I think that's sort of a massive reason behind it, because of the coaching, because of how it is run on those Monday or Wednesday or Thursday nights. So credit to GT and sort of everyone who's involved in it.
Ferds, what are your sort of memories of those first sort of days at the academy and sort of working with GT? And as Popey was saying there, you know, your nights down in Guildford in the Nets. So what are your memories of sort of academy life?
I think that they're all similar. I think I was always the youngest player for a while from the academy, coming just mainly bowling at some of the older boys, because I was playing like the under 17 county age group cricket since about 13. So, you know, I was always like exposed to playing with the older players. So, but in the winter, it was really good for me because I just love to bowl and I love bowling. So I think for me, just having an opportunity where I could just bowl for 2 hours at some good players was really good. I think just getting used to that environment, I think that for me, then as going up in the age groups and then obviously playing a second 11 game when I was about 14, I think it wasn't, obviously I was phased because that standard increase was huge, but I'd already been exposed to playing with older and bigger people. So in terms of all of that, you know, it was really enjoyable, but it was quite scary at the time. And I think that those kind of experiences have really set me up kind of when I started to make my first class debut and play more twos cricket. So yeah, all in all, I think they were quite good experiences and definitely key ones to do more development.
Was it quite intimidating? Because the thought of at 14 playing a second team game, and I can remember, I can't remember what year this was, but I can remember you coming down to bowl at the first team at the Oval in the Nets. And that must have been, God, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago? And you came down and bowled at the first team in the Nets, and you didn't seem at all fazed by it. And I can remember everyone, sort of, I can remember a certain person saying to me, "Watch this lad, because he's got all the tricks." But it must have been quite intimidating as a young man to sort of to go into that environment.
It is pretty intimidating, because the thing is, like, your skills are nowhere near at that point to be ready to kind of compete at that level. However, It's very good for your confidence. Like, even if I left the net getting one person out, or, you know, beating someone's outside edge or whatever it is, I think that just kind of gives you confidence that actually I can play at that level. And, you know, GT's always been really good at that, with just getting boys in, you know, maybe when they're not ready, just giving them that exposure to what level they can be playing. And that kind of gives you an edge when you get to that level. I think with those kind of experiences, I think they're the best experiences you can have, especially as a bowler as well.
Ben Ford made a big difference, I think, in that transition period between playing age group cricket and maybe not getting a lot of second team cricket because of star bowlers, and thirds was probably around 17, 16, 17, 18. I think he saw quite a bit in thirds in terms of what he had to offer, and I always remember Fordy very complimentary and positive about thirds before he became a professional at the club in terms of what he had to offer. So Fordy was quite pivotal, I think. And I think it gave Verge confidence. I think it gave him, you know, self-esteem and confidence that you need as a player. I think that was quite an important thing.
Yeah, and Verge, for you, just touching on that, for someone like Graham Ford with his track record, and Fordy has a track record of taking young players and turning them into, you know, international players, that must have given you a real boost that he wanted you there to have a bowl with the first team.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you draw a lot of confidence, because I think there's a, you know, sometimes you can get that feeling that, oh, you know, you're just there to give other people practice. However, with 4D, and especially my experiences growing up bowling at the Surrey Pros and things like that, was that, you know, like, you're there because you're kind of good enough to be bowling at them. And, you know, that they see something in you. So it gives you a lot of confidence to keep working hard at your skill, and that you're never too far away from an opportunity. Sometimes it can be intimidating, you know, like if you're not having a good day or something like that, and, you know, you feel like, actually, I'm not bowling that well. It can be a bit tough. But I think that there's a lot of, you know, they can put your arm around you, and they do make it an environment where, you know, you're not too worried about making mistakes. You're always there to learn and improve. And I think that they make that kind of and a pathway a lot easier for a youngster.
Sammy, sort of touched on by Popey there, school as well. So obviously, academy, Wellington, schoolwork, trying to fit everything in. How important was it to have sort of the academy there, working with Wellington, with Gav Franklin, to sort of just balance everything out for you?
Yeah, I think it was massive. I owe a huge amount to Wellington for the opportunity, firstly, to come over and play and just to be at school there. And the relationship that Surrey and Wellington had, I think, was the reason I got to where I was so quickly, because I think the transition was so smooth with Dan Pratt, who was the S&C at Surrey in the academy. He was a teacher there. Gav Franklin obviously had a great relationship. I think it was just trying to find the right balance, especially in my last 2 years. It was quite tricky because I was playing in the first team with obviously being in school. There was a couple of times, T20 in Somerset on a Friday night, and I played for school on the Saturday morning. So it was quite like a tricky balance. It was quite a tricky balance in terms of making sure I was doing my stuff. But there was an agreement made in my last year that I wouldn't play any 4-day cricket, and that I made sure I did all my schoolwork and stuff. Obviously, I would have loved to have been playing in the county stuff, but I had to give a lot to Wellington. They're the ones who started the opportunity for me, and I think that's the reason why it was so successful and smooth, because I think a lot of schools and a lot of people can get it wrong in terms of finding the right balance. And I think Wellington and the Surrey Academy, especially with GT communicating regularly, Stewie as well, it was just a smooth process, which really helped.
And what are your sort of first, I said to the other two boys, but what are your sort of first memories of academy? What are your first memories of walking in there and seeing Townsend behind a bowling machine and the rest of the lads?
To be fair, when I first went down, I was pretty, Tom had obviously just started getting into this, like, second team, first team, and I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't really know any of the players. I was kind of in there. I actually went on a Surrey Academy tour when I was with these two, actually, we're 15 or so, and there was an inter-squad game with the Surrey first team, so, and GT didn't let us play because we were too young. I don't know if Verds may have played, because he had kind of, played, did you play Verds?
Yeah, I played, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, I, I, obviously the bowlers were pretty great. You had Meeks, you had Trimlett, you had Jade, all these kind of guys, and we all look up to, and it's kind of like, oh my God, I was actually really pleased that we didn't play. And I remember TC faced his first ball. He was probably 18, so he's one of the academy older players that played a beautiful defence off Meeks, like running, and Meeks next ball just let him have one, and TC was on all fours, and it's great fun to be exposed to that stuff. And I think these two linked to it. We got exposed to tough cricket really early, and I think that really helped. So yeah, that's probably my first memory of was being on an academy tour. And we're looking back now, because there's a great picture of myself, Birds, Popey and Ryan on an academy tour, and we redid it when we won the championship, so it was pretty cool.
GT, how important is that? Sammy just touched on it there. Okay, we all know that they're skillful players, otherwise they wouldn't have been on the academy. But Sammy just touched on it there about character. How much is that something for you, the character of the player on your academy?
Yeah, it's crucial. I think, obviously, it really defines them, doesn't it, as individuals and how they're going to progress. The game is not easy at the height. I think it's testament to these, especially, you know, Popey and Sam, who've been playing Test cricket at their age, what it says about them as individuals. So it is crucial, because there are elements of the game that you have to develop and kind of acclimatise to as you go up the ladder. And I think that's the crucial element, is it's exposure as early as, not early as possible, early as when it is right for that player to that next level, to allow them to adapt and work things out. The way Sam and Popey play now, yeah, they have changed slightly and they will adjust, but they are the same players really that came through the system. What they have done, they're working out as they progress how to play at the next level. It's still a ball that's bowled, you know, at 90 miles an hour, whether it's, you know, Pat Cummins or whatever, you learn and work to deal with it. And those that can find the answers, hop their own, succeed, develop, and those that struggle, drop by the wayside, and that's the way it is. So the character element to that, and I will add that, you know, Bird, he's had little kind of road stops at the way where he's had to kind of reappraise what he's doing, and it's down to his character, his personality, how he is as an individual to answer those kind of questions, get through it and move on to the next stage. I think they've all shown that they're, as good young men they are, they're also tough guys as well.
Just very quickly on that, and that was Virg you were talking about. You just broke up there a touch, but Virg you were talking about there with his character. Can you spot that early? Can you when you first meet these lads? So these three, okay, you first you sit down with them, you chat to them. Can you spot that straight away, or is that just something that develops over time?
Well, it develops as you put them into the situations that they're exposed to, and you then assess how they react. And I think that's the key. But, you know, and there will be times when they struggle, there'll be times where they might fail or it doesn't work out. But if they continue to work and come back again, and they find a way to succeed, that gives you the answer that these guys can be pushed to another level.
Popey, look, you mentioned it there, the sessions at the academy. So every time I've been down there, it's all run extremely professionally, even down to sort of the food that you get. How important was that when you made that transition? That you sort of touched on it, but, you know, it's run on professional lines, so that when you do get into the professional game, you're used to it from what you've had during your academy time.
Yeah, no, I think it's massively important. I think if you can get into some really good habits, we got into good habits in the academy. We were always sort of getting fitness tested fairly regularly. Like you said, the food that they present there before the training sessions, the training sessions themselves, they're like I said, they're just like they're like being in a first class environment. And I think we're lucky at Surrey that it's exactly the same. Hopefully even better. Hopefully once you're in the first team, once you get into that environment, we get looked after as well as we possibly can, because it does become a norm. It's all us boys know. We're lucky enough we've only been at Surrey, and who knows how the other counties are. But yeah, at the Surrey, the environment they create and the behaviours inside, and and the sort of the environment that is created there is second to none, and it has become the norm now. So I think we've sort of learned some good habits, and we learn them from the staff and the players themselves, the older guys, and we've got the perfect role models as well to learn off.
And also, you mentioned that, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later, you know, and Sammy mentioned it, you might be batting against Sammy in a net. How important are friendships as well? In the fact that, you know, we've seen that the photo of you four, as I said that to Ollie Pope, because I can see him, he's just rehearsing hooking Sam Curran off a length, I think, there. How important are those friendships, though? You know, because we've seen the photo. I've known you boys for a while. But you've grown up together, really, haven't you, through Surrey? So how important are those friendships that you make on the academy as well?
Yeah, massively. We, like Sammy said, we took on our first academy tour in Cape Town. We recreated that picture in... when was it? When I made my championship debut, and Amar was playing, Sam was playing, and even Ryan Patel was playing as well. And then we recreated that picture again, sort of probably a year and a half later when we won the championship together. So it's pretty awesome to be able to come through the process with these guys, and hopefully, I guess, over the next however long our careers are, hopefully we can keep creating those memories. And then when we do sort of lift another trophy, recreate it again, and it'll be a pretty cool story for us to be able to tell. But yeah, they are massively important, and you see it with the older guys in the changing room and now as well, who've been playing with each other for such a long time, and it just helps create such a sound squad and environment within the changing room, and the boys get on very well with each other, because you've got so many good memories from being on the academy and from coming through the second team stuff and into the first team together. So yeah, we're pretty lucky that we can create those sort of bonds.
Bert, how important has that been for you in the fact that, you know, you've grown up with a lot of these boys, you've gone through your age group cricket together, as you said you were playing some second team stuff at 14. How important has that been, you know, those friendships that you've built up, and you're all now playing first team cricket together?
It's almost like a dream come true, like, kind of, you're just playing with your mates, you know, and you're winning. I think especially from a young age, we had quite a good team which was winning games, and kind of doing that at a professional level now is kind of, well, I mean, it's really exciting. And you know, I really enjoy it, playing with the boys. You know, like, we have, obviously, Ollie mentioned, we have Ryan playing there as well now. Like, we have Jaxie and some other boys that we've played with growing up. But, I mean, you can't really ask for a better thing playing with your mates. And, you know, I think we're really lucky that we're able to do that. And, you know, definitely going forward, hopefully we can keep winning more championships together and have some better memories.
Yeah, look, what here we go. I'll go around each of you on this. But for you, Verge, what are your first memories of seeing Sam Curran for the first time playing cricket, or playing cricket with Sam Curran for the first time, and what did you think?
I think the first time I saw Sam, he walked in with his massive head through the double doors at George. I don't know if we had fitness testing that day or something, or he came in for a bat. I think he would have been 14. I think you might correct me on that.
Virgie wouldn't have been there.
You'd
have missed that session.
Yeah, I think I had a sore calf or something. I think that was my first moment. I think we were having a net and things like that, and there was kind of just, you know, like, I think I might have went and said hello. I was probably a bit intimidated. But no, I think obviously I think TC had been there now. I think I'd played with TC previously. But then to meet Sam, I think it was yeah, I mean, he's still how he is now, isn't he? He's a bit of a joke player. He's a good lad. No, he's all right.
Sammy, come on. Look, again, for you, these boys, you know, they're your best mates. They've been your best mates through the academy, and you're now best mates playing international cricket and cricket for Surrey together. It must be a lovely thing.
Yeah, I actually always say that quite a lot recently, is how when we were actually in Cape Town recently, we won that test in... obviously in Cape Town with 7 overs to go, and with Simmers getting his first test 100, obviously he grew up with us at the academy, and then Opie getting his 100 in Port Elizabeth. It's such a cool feeling, because you almost forget that you're playing international cricket, because you're doing it with people you've grown up playing with in the academy and where there's no people in the stands, and we just turn up, take our own lunchbox, and now we're playing like international cricket together. So it does make you calm your nerves, and it's really special to, I've never felt more better feelings for like teammates that are your best mates when they score hundreds and you win games, you can have a beer afterwards and talk about all the academy days like we are doing now. So it definitely makes it easier and less intimidating, especially in the England dressing room now. There's like myself, Popey, Sibbers, Burnsy, Zach Crawley. There's literally so many of the young guys you played all your age group stuff with, and it's really, it makes it a lot easier and less intimidating. Because I think, linking back earlier when we spoke about intimidating, when we're in the academy, it's so intimidating seeing the pros. And like I said, that mixed game we had in Cape Town in about 2015 or 2014, it made it easy when GT probably put us in to mingle with the like second team players now and again. Because even I did a Q&A for the academy last week, you could tell there's a lot of like questions, what are the first team players like, what are the players like, and everyone's normal, and that's what we spoke about. So it definitely makes it easier when you know people, I guess.
And okay, for you then, Ollie Pope, the first time that you saw Ollie Pope batting, or Ollie Pope keeping, or Ollie Pope doing anything, what are your first memories of Pope when you played with him?
To be fair, probably same sort of thing Bert said. I didn't really know anyone, so I kind of went in there with an open mind, and he had all his grey Nick stash, he had all the kits, and I was using my Hunts County, and I knew this guy's got to be a player. He's got all his stash. And I was kind of like, bolded him, and then we played against each other a couple of times for Cranley, and then, yeah, friendship just built, and you could tell guys were really good players. I think in the academy, when someone's got all the kit, especially when you play against another team, you're like, oh, he's sponsored by Gray Nichols, he's got Nike kit, this guy's got to be good. The kit was the biggest thing, and Popey always had all the stash, gloves, everything to the max.
Popey, you obviously had all the kit right at the start there. But I've asked Sammy about you. You've asked about what were you, Verds? Come on, Popey. What do you remember of Verds when you first saw Verds? And he was ripping them. What were your first memories of Verds?
How old were we then? We were young, right? And there's some great pictures actually. I think we played at the Oval together. I think when we were very young, and Verds didn't have his big beard then. But I just remember Verds. I've never seen a youngster turn the ball as much as Verds, and I had to try and keep to him. So I think I've got a lot of memories of just seeing Verds pitch the ball on about 10 stump and bowling players through the gate for fun. So I think on the pitch, that's our first memory of Verds. And I don't know, we've got some great memories. We went to where was it, Malvern? Or Taunton Festival together as youngsters. And I think that's when you start sort of building up those good memories, and you start sort of ripping into each other a little bit, and those relationships grow. But yeah, it's such a long time ago now that I think it's all sort of blended into one over the last however
You're
many
so
years.
Old, mate.
Funnily enough, I can't have been that good, because I remember with Sam, actually, his first net was with me. I was at the other end. And I remember it. So we did a few training sessions, and I remember we played a game. I think Verge was probably playing as well, and I think it was probably under 14s. And
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, this is quite funny. And the team we were playing were useless. And we sort of rocked up and realised these guys are no good. And Neil Stewart, our coach, was sat over in the corner, and Sam came into bat, and we knew he was good. Like, we'd seen him play in the nets, we weren't worried about him. And Sam came into bat, his first innings for Surrey as number 14, and he, one of the worst. He won't remember, hopefully, but one of the most average legs players I've ever seen comes in, and Sam's first ball that he faces, I think he nicks off to slip. And I just remember seeing big Neil Stewart sat on the other side of the ground just pissing, and he was laughing so hard. And then after he stopped that, he still brings it up now, and he says, I was the one that was laughing. But yeah, I just remember looking over at Stewie, and he just was uncontrollably laughing, and it was quite. Because we weren't worried about him, he was going to be all right as he is now. But yeah, that was a funny memory. So I guess, yeah, we've it was a while ago now, but with both of them there, we've got some good times like that.
GT, they mentioned it there, and you can just tell from the three of them how much they enjoyed their time on the academy. How important is it as well? I know it's professional, and I know you run it to tight lines and all those good phrases and all that stuff, but how much is it that they enjoy it and they have some fun, and as we're hearing from these three, that they build up those relationships?
Yeah, and that, of course, that's part of team sport, isn't it, and playing with each other. I think we've changed a little bit when the academy started. It's got less fierce and more a softer approach probably over the 20 years that the academy's been in kind of running, just because you learn and work with different ways of handling people. There is a strict discipline regime to it, but I think that's what young players need in able to get their basics and fundamentals. Once you get that in place, hand over that responsibility more to the kids to do what they need to do. I wouldn't go as far to say that we'd encourage people to play pool during the hours of play, which some members of guests today have managed to do, which resulted in some interesting repercussions. But we tend to kind of run a reasonably disciplined ship and allow the lads to kind of develop.
Sorry to interrupt. Could you tell us that story? I actually don't know what that story is.
We were battling the game, and I went out after the team will get one of my, another Churchillian speech to take the game, telling them what to do, and went and sat by the side screen and kind of looked across, and we were hanging in there. I went back, walked into the pavilion at Cheam, and there was the captain, Alvaverdi, and Ryan Patel playing pool while we were trying to kind of, save the game. So we had a little debrief afterwards, which resulted in all of them not playing in the next game against Kent, which we actually won. So there you go. But yeah, Verds in that game sent in as night watchman. I told him he was night watchman. We actually knew he could bat, and he ended up getting 100. But I'll leave that for him to explain.
Well, Popey... Verds, I'll be with you in two ticks. I'm going to just run. This is my final question to all three of you now. But so there he is, Mr. Townsend, director of the Surrey Academy, also known as the Dream Maker to a few people. But on a serious point with GT, and don't embarrass him too much. And any stories you've got about GT, feel free. But just as a director, and for you guys, and where you are now, how important has he been? How important has his staff been to you guys during the course of your career up to this point? Popey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there's some good stories on GT as well. I remember a certain Easter egg comment made, and I think that was one of the best ones. So Jesus, he's got... we were all pretty nervous when coming into the academy, and he's got a good stern approach, but he'll have a good laugh as well. So it's, and I remember, when we were 15 on the first tour that we were on, a few of the lads left their caps behind, and it basically just, it ended up with GT just spraying the whole bus and telling us essentially to go, well, actually, I can't use the words he used, but no. It was Easter at the time, and there was something about going effing Easter eggs and not respecting the badge. But it was, that was the last thing in the memory. I can't really comment on what he said, but it was a good one. But yeah, massively important. I think we're so lucky on those academy days to have such great coaches. I worked a lot with, obviously, GT with my batting, Neil Stewart, Jeremy Greaves with my keeping, Richard Bedbrook, Tom Bench, all those guys, and we see them a lot around now, and it says a lot that those guys, it's been the same guys for so long sort of in those roles, because they've obviously gained a lot of consistency with their outcomes. But yeah, those guys are awesome, and they're the perfect people to learn off, and they can pick into the brains of the guys sort of in the first team, and it all filters down into the academy days, sort of into the times when you're 15. So I think the conveyor belt sort of has helped from the relationships that those guys bring. But yeah, geez, sort of it's interesting coming into different squads and different environments and seeing what the leaders in them are like. And I think everyone's slightly different, but how it's run there is second to none, and it's a very professional environment.
Birds, first thing, talk us through your 100 as night watchman then. And second thing, as I just said to Popey, GT, those coaches at the academy, they're pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go into the 100 in a minute. Needs a bit of time, that one. But regarding the coaching and stuff, yeah, we are lucky. I think that one thing especially is that, you know, especially with GT and the Surrey system, they're very keen to get in people that, you know, can help players. Like, I remember Aranga coming in at a time where I think that I really needed him to work on a few things that I had to work on. And, you know, he's been really good. And even now, I still touch base with him. And, you know, just talk to him about spin bowling and just things in general. And, you know, just I think the support system's really good. So even like, you know, at Surrey where, you know, at the sessions I'd predominantly be bowling, you know, I remember that, you know, it'll be arranged that I could work with Neil Stewart with my batting outside of the training, because I had a few extra things to work on, whether it was some gym work or whether it was whatever it could be. So, you know, in terms of that support system, it's always been there, and we've had access to a psych from a young age as well, which has been really good. But the whole system in general, just reiterating what Popey's been saying, is that, you know, it's a very professional outfit from the start, and it's something that you're not, you know, surprised to see when you do make it as a pro level, that, you know, what the role of coaches is, how it all works. And, you know, we're really, really lucky that even those, all those coaches are still there. And, you know, we still share memories. And, you know, it's great to just see. And I think it's great for them also to see that, you know, players that they've worked with have gone through the system.
And that 100?
Yeah, so it was, I think the night before, we'd lost a couple of wickets. And I think Popey was in at number 5. And, you know, I said to him, you're a night watchman. And I think that he was a bit 50-50. So I kind of just maybe pushed it that, you know, come on, just let me get in. Because everyone, you know, I always just tell everyone that I can bat. And then I think,
would you do that now, Verds? Would you do that now?
Of course, Sammy Patel at one end. I'm sure we'll find a couple of balls in the pavilion. But, you know, I think that definitely, like, so I went in, a few of the boys will always be like, you know, like, oh, Verds, you know, like, you always say you can bat me, don't you? Because I used to just go in and hit sixes or try to just whack it at the end of growing at the under 15 age groups. And, you know, this was under 17. So so I went in, and then in the last over of the day, I can't remember who I was batting with now, but I took a single. And, you know, I didn't know that the night watchman was supposed to face all the balls in the last over. And I just said to him, are you right if I take a single? And I just dropped one into the covers and I ran. And I just sat on my bat thinking that, oh, this is excellent, you know, I've done my job. Like, everyone's going to give me a round of applause when I come off and everything. And I came off, and I think GT was there, and I thought, oh, GT's going to come and say, well done, Wirth. And he just laid, I'm not going to say what he said exactly, but he just laid into me like I've never felt before. And I literally thought that, oh my God, what have I done here? And then I realised afterwards, actually, you're not supposed to take singles. And then the following morning, like, everyone's hitting balls, and I just turned up, and I think I had like 2 underarms or something, because I didn't even know what batting prep was, to be honest. And you know, I just went into bat, and Neil Stewart was like, you know, you got a lot of pressure on you today, you know, you got a lot of runs to get. And you know, I batted with Popey most of that innings, and 100 runs later, and got out next ball though after getting 100. But no, it's a good experience.
And then celebrated with a game of pool.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
And Sammy, just a few words on GT and the academy staff.
Yeah, I think these boys have summed it up pretty well. I think the relationship we created was pretty special. Something that actually came to mind when the boys were talking about it is, I think something that sums up the Surrey Academy is how Burnsy will always go back to Neil Stewart when he's struggling for form. I think there's a time in the Ashes, actually, Burnsy was, or just before, and he said to me, I'm just going to go back to what I know and go to coaches I've worked with from a young age. And I think that just sums it up, where you create such great relationship with the coaches. And obviously GT is still involved heavily now with the first team staff, and we always see him around. But the other coaches, such as Benji, Betters, all the ones that Popey mentioned, you see them around the Oval, and you just talk about the great memories that we made. And yeah, I couldn't thank the Academy anymore. They've done great things for all of us, and it's pretty special. I think there's a stat, is there 14 or 15 people on the staff now or something? So it's great, and hopefully like I said, in a few years' time, there'll be more guys coming through in the academy, and we can, GT can just have another sip of red wine and say, another one to the list.
Yeah, and he can go on Sky, can't he, again, and just be interviewed the whole time at Test matches and be a guest on Test Match Special again, which he's very, very good at. Listen, fellas, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute joy. It's actually been rather lovely to see you as well, because I haven't seen you in ages, but it's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you for your time. We'll do this again soon, but to all of you, take care of yourselves, stay safe and stay well. Cheers, boys. So that's it for this first episode of From Three Feathers to Three Lions. Thanks to Gareth Townsend, Ollie Pope, Amar Verdi and Sam Curran. In our next episode, we'll be chatting about that transition from the academy into professional cricket. And thank you for listening. If you've liked what you've heard, please rate and review us, because it really helps others find the podcast. Until our next episode, this has been a Surrey County Cricket Club podcast brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. Until next week, stay safe and stay well, everybody.